On that first day, my condition progressed and improved rapidly in some areas, but not at all in others. Although recovery would take years, certain parts of my brain were still intact and eagerly engaged in trying to decipher the billions of bits of data making up the present moment. The most notable difference between my pre- and post-stroke cognitive experience was the dramatic silence that had taken up residency inside my head. It wasn't that I could not think anymore. I just didn't think in the same way. Communication with the external world was out. Language with linear processing was out. But thinking in pictures was in. Gathering glimpses of information, moment by moment, and then taking time to ponder the experience, was in. One of my doctors asked me the question, "Who is the President of the United States?" In order for me to process this question and come up with an answer, I had to first realize that a question was being asked of me. Once I realized someone wanted my attention, I needed them to repeat the question so I could focus on the sounds being spoken, and then I had to pay really close attention to the movement of their lips. Because it was very difficult for my ears to distinguish a single voice from background noise, I needed the question to be repeated slowly and enunciated clearly. I needed calm, clear communication. I may have had a dense expression on my face and appeared ignorant, but my mind was very busy concentrating on the acquisition of new information. My responses came slowly, much too slowly for the real world. Paying attention to what someone was saying took an enormous amount of effort, and I found it to be tiring. First, I had to pay attention with my eyes and ears, neither of which were working normally. My brain had to capture the sound and then match that sound up with a specific lip movement. Then, it had to search and see if there was any meaning for those combinations of sounds stored anywhere in my wounded brain. Once I got one word figured out, then I had to search for combinations of words, and with an impaired mind, that took hours. The effort it took for me to pay attention to what someone was saying was like the effort it takes to pay attention to someone who is speaking on a cell phone with a bad connection. You have to work so hard to hear what the person is saying that you may become impatient, frustrated, and hang up the phone. That's the kind of effort it took for me to hear a voice in a noisy background. It took a tremendous amount of willingness and determination on my part, and infinite patience on the part of the speaker. For my information processing, I took the sounds of the keywords and repeated them over and over again in my brain so that I would not forget what they sounded like. Then I would go on a process of exploration to identify a meaning that matched the sound of those words. President. President. What is a president? What does that mean? Once I had a concept, picture, of what a president was, then I moved on to the sound United States. United States. United States. What is a United States? What does that mean? Once I found the file for United States, again, it was a picture in my mind. Then I had to put together the two images, that of a president and that of the United States. But my doctor was not asking me anything that was really about the United States or about a president. He was asking me to identify a specific man, and that was a completely different file. Because my brain could not get from President and United States to Bill Clinton, I gave up, but only after hours of probing and exhausting mental gymnastics. My ability to cognate was erroneously assessed by how quickly I could recall information, rather than by how my mind strategized to recover the information it held. After all the effort I had put into the task of trying to find the answer to the initial question, it ended up that there were too many associations for me to pick through. Since I was thinking in pictures, I had to start with a single image and then expand upon it. I could not start with the general and find the more specific without exploring the billions of possibilities, which was draining. Perhaps if they had asked me a question about Bill Clinton specifically, then I would have found an image of Bill and then been able to expand from there. If they had asked me, "Who is Bill Clinton married to?" then I would have found an image of Bill Clinton, an image of matrimony, and then hopefully an image of Hillary standing by her man. When using pictures to navigate my way back into language, it was impossible to go from a general file to a specific detail. To someone looking on, I may have been judged as less than what I had been before because I could not process information like a normal person. I was saddened by the inability of the medical community to know how to communicate with someone in my condition. Stroke is the number one disabler in our society, and 4 times more strokes occur in the left hemisphere, impairing language. I think it is vitally important that stroke survivors share and communicate about how each of their brains strategized recovery. In doing so, our medical professionals could be more effective during those initial hours of treatment and assessment. I wanted my doctors to focus on how my brain was working rather than on whether it worked according to their criteria or timetable. I still knew volumes of information, and I was simply going to have to figure out how to access it again. It really was fascinating for me to watch and experience myself during those earliest stages of recovery. Because of my academics, I intellectually conceptualized my body as a compilation of various neurological programs. But it wasn't until this experience with stroke that I really understood that we all have the ability to lose pieces of ourselves one program at a time. I never really pondered what it would be like to lose my mind, more specifically, my left mind. I wish there were a safe way to induce this awareness in people. It might prove to be enlightening.